in Matthew 6, we're going through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Jesus sits, his disciples come to him, but there's a lot more people than just his disciples listening to what he says, but he's kind of primarily addressing them. And he's taught on various different topics. We've just seen the end of one big section when Jesus says, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." That wraps up one big section, and then chapter 6 starts a new section. And what we'll see throughout this is we'll go through the chapter over the next few weeks, but there's a similar pattern. Jesus talking about just what it means to just live as a Christian with general life and religious things. And verse 1 is a sort of a summary verse for the whole chapter. But I'm going to read verse 1 through to 4, and then I'll flick over to the Mark passage. So Matthew 6, verse 1. Jesus says this: "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Now turn across to Mark 12 and verse 41. This is Jesus with his disciples at the temple in Jerusalem. "And he sat down," that's Jesus, "opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came in and put two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, 'Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on.'" Let's pray, shall we? And then we'll have a look at those Matthew verses in a bit more detail. Let's pray. Father, we simply pray that you would guide us by your Spirit. We recognize that these words that we have on these pages are from him, and we trust in his power to bring them to life for us as I speak and as we all listen. May you just work in our hearts to just make us more like Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, not long ago, I was back at my parents' house and I saw an old family video. And in the family video, I'm about 3 years old, and a game of cricket, well, you know, cricket, when little kids are playing cricket, it's not really cricket. A game of cricket is happening in the back garden. And I get my hands on the ball, and it's my turn to bowl, and everyone's waiting. You know, my brother's standing there next to this big cardboard box that's the wicket, waiting for me to bowl. And I won't bowl until my mum is watching. And I keep turning around to my mum, "Mummy, mummy, watch, look, watch." And I just won't do it until she, "Now you look, I'll throw and you clap. Okay, I'll throw and you clap." And I'm about to run up and I stop and I look to make sure she's watching. And then I go and do it. And I turn around expecting some kind of, you know, applause or something like that. And it's funny, isn't it? You just, you know, I'm spending a bit more time around playgrounds now. Now I'm taking Marlo along. And you just notice kids all the time saying to their parents, watch me do this, watch me do that. And it's true, isn't it, that when we do something good and no one sees it, it's just not the same, is it? And you see that in small children, but you see that in older people. And maybe when we get older, we get a bit more conscious of not wanting to seem like we want people's attention. But actually, when we're doing something good, we want other people to know. We want other people to see it. And if no one sees it, it feels kind of empty. And there's dangers in that. Jesus says that here at the beginning of our section, this new section in chapter 6, verse 1 of chapter 6. "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them." In chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus has talked about and being a light on a hill, letting your light shine before others, So he's not talking about your witness here, and he's not talking about, we're going to think about those verses in a minute. But what he's saying here is just beware if your act of righteousness, your doing good things as a Christian, is something that you're becoming very aware of how other people are seeing. There's dangers in that. There's dangers if you start to think, who's seeing me do this and who isn't, and does that matter? And then what he does throughout the chapter is he talks about all the different areas where there are traps. What we're going to look at tonight is in the giving of money to the needy. But then he talks about prayer. He talks about fasting. Then he talks about how we think about money. He thinks about anxiety. All these different things. There's a way in which we can do these things wrongly. So what we're going to do tonight is we're just going to look at verses 1 to 4, at that first thing that talks about when you give to the needy. And what Jesus does throughout this section is there's a pattern. He says, okay, in this issue, there's a don't. Don't be like this. And then there's a do. Do be like this. And then there's a reason why. Because God. Something about God, or something about what God is, who God is, what God does. So a don't, a do, and then something about God. So first of all, when you give to the needy, don't. Verse 2. Have a look at verse 2. This is what some people do. They draw attention to themselves. When you give to the needy, don't be like the hypocrites. Sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Don't be like this. When you give in terms of material things, don't draw attention to it. There's plenty of times when we talk about giving, that we will talk about giving other things like time, effort. I want you to think about material things tonight, because that's what Jesus is talking about. Okay, so don't substitute money out of your head straight away, because Jesus is talking about money. And Jesus says, when you give money, make sure you're not drawing attention to it. And at this time, it was quite a public thing to give to the poor. It was one of the pillars of being a good citizen in Israel. So it was kind of unavoidable that there was a certain amount of publicity to it, because that's what you did. You came to the temple, you donated to the treasury. In Mark chapter 12, we see that. We see people coming to the temple treasury and giving, and people are watching, and people are very capable of seeing what's been given and what hasn't been given. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's not a horrible societal structure. But what is kind of going wrong here is that people are very much drawing attention to what they give. I mean, the sounding of trumpets as they arrive. I would have liked to have just seen that, because I think it just would have been funny. Just someone, here comes so-and-so with a gift of such-and-such to be, you know what I mean? You can just imagine it. But we might think of it now, we might think, that's just so ostentatious, that's crazy, just to get that much attention to yourself. But actually, I don't think it would have been seen like that. I think it would have been seen as something to aspire to. Imagine if you could be that generous. Imagine if you were successful enough to be that generous and do something that good. It's a good thing. If someone is that generous, it deserves to be in the spotlight, doesn't it? You're celebrating a good thing, generosity like that. And so I think when we see the sounding of trumpets, we think, oh, come on, I mean, this is easily avoided. You think, it's not actually. Not when we think about it. Because actually, even today, great acts of real generosity are celebrated by our society. And it's very easy to look at people that have a lot and are very generous with it and think, that's great, I'd love to be like them one day. There's been examples of this really recently. I'm conscious I'm only speaking to a particular generation here, but the God's Plan music video, yeah? Drake, a rapper, did a music video. And Justin Bieber did a very similar thing with Intentions recently. Music video. And in this music video, it's basically a sort of a half music video, half documentary. And with both Drake and Justin Bieber, if you don't know who those people are, don't worry, they're famous people. They were, in this music video, it's a song that they've released, but in the music video, it's a promotional thing to accompany the song. A camera just follows them around, going to impoverished schools or communities or people who are trying to work in the community but don't have much in terms of funds. And they give money away. They fund a whole school project. They buy a car for someone who's very, very poor and can't make that commute the way they'd like to. And it's good. It's good things. And if you look at the comments and how people react to them, it's good to see someone who has so much, aware of those who don't have as much, and giving things away. Giving what they have, what they've earned, away. I looked up, when I was writing this, I looked up the 20 most generous people in the world. And someone has calculated, you know, just billionaires that have given away loads to charitable causes. And, you know, there's lists of people that we recognize, people like Bill Gates, Michael Dell, people like that. And these people, you know, they kind of take all the money, they kind of calculate all the money they've given away, and they calculate their net worth. And they kind of say, right, who's the most generous? And there's a top 20. And you go through and you think, wow, you know, these people have given an awful lot of money away. But the way they've done it, more often than not, is through foundations. And then you look at the names of their foundations, and the foundations are always named after them. Not always, but about 18 times out of the 20. So the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Michael and Susan Dell Foundation, the Simons Foundation, Dietmar Hopp Foundation. Generosity. We're very, very happy to be generous, but we want our name to be attached to it, don't we? We want our name to be attached to our generosity. And we find it difficult when we don't get any credit or we don't get any mention for something good that we have done. Have you ever been in a situation like that when you have done something that is good? Maybe you have been generous. And you haven't had any mention of it. Even by the people that have most directly benefited from it. And it's stung a little bit. Maybe just in a little way. You know, you pitched in on a joint present for somebody. And you pitched in a decent amount on this joint present. And then when the present was given, maybe you weren't able to be there or something like that. And so this person had this present. They were really grateful and they thanked everybody. But they didn't thank you. And actually, they didn't even know you were part of it. And now that we're grown up, you know, we wouldn't sort of go up and be like, did you like your present? You're welcome. We wouldn't do that now. But we would like somebody to mention the fact we were involved, wouldn't we? More often than not. Because we want our name to be attached to our generosity. And is that such a bad thing? Jesus talks here about, you know, not sounding trumpets. Yeah, great, I'm not sounding a trumpet when I'm being generous, but is it really that bad a thing? Well, I think the reason Jesus is challenging people here is because he's asking them the question, who is it you're really giving for? Because in Jesus' time, it's built into their lives to give to the needy. It's really built into their lives for the Israelites here, because it comes from the law in the Old Testament, where the principle of giving to the poor is really firmly established. This is Deuteronomy 15. I realize it'll be quite small for you. But this is Deuteronomy 15, and it says this. This is Old Testament law that's kind of hardwired into how the Israelites' community is structured. It says this: if among you one of your brothers should become poor, if any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be. Take care lest there be an unworthy thought in your heart and you say, the seventh year, the year of release is near, and your eye look grudgingly on your poor brother and you give him nothing. And he cry to the Lord against you and you be guilty of sin. You shall give to him freely, and your heart shall not be grudging when you give to him. Because for this the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake. So these commands, these principles of looking out for the poor, of not being grudging in your giving towards the poor, are rooted in the societal structures of the Israelites. And so it's a normal thing to do. But the reason it's in their law is because God is the one who's given this law. God is the original giver. God is the generous one. The law reflects his character. So as people obey this law and are generous to the needy, they are reflecting something of God. But notice how the motivation changes in verse 2. Instead of giving generously because it's a reflection of God, it's giving so that they might be praised by others. That's their motivation. Being praised by others. Instead of it being a God thing, it's a me thing. People will see and I will get praised. And do you see how that's, at first you might think, does that seem like a big deal? Well, yes, when you realize that giving is reflecting the giver. And then suddenly we want to take God out of the place and we say, no, I want my giving to reflect me. It's a very subtle way of taking God off of where he belongs and putting ourselves in that place. Jesus says, end of verse 2, well, if you give like that, you'll get praise. Those people, those hypocrites that sound the trumpets and give so that everyone could see them and praise them, it says, yep, people praise them and they've received their reward. That's the end of it. If you have a look on the comments on those music videos I mentioned, you scroll down and people love it. Wow, isn't it amazing? Look at how humble they are. Look at how aware of, you know, poor people they are, whatever they are. And it's not to have a go, because actually we're exactly the same. But look what Jesus says. He says it's hypocritical. Because when we want to give, but we put our name on it, we act like we're being selfless. But actually we're being totally self-centered. Because we want the good thing that we're doing, the generous act that we do, to always come back to us. We're doing something that's so praiseworthy. Look at all of this. And the cameras are on me. And so Jesus says, when you give to the needy, don't put your name on it. We can so easily act like we're being others-centered, when actually we're being self-centered and we're taking God off the throne and we're putting ourselves on there and we're wanting all the praise and glory for ourselves. So Jesus says, don't put your name on it. When you give to the needy, don't put your name on it. Instead, this is what you do. Verse 3. This is what you do. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, before we think about what Jesus is saying here, what he says about how we're to give, we do need to pause just to notice, first of all, that Jesus says, when you give to the needy, not if you give to the needy. And there are many, many different ways to give to the needy. You mentioned that earlier, time and effort and whatever else might be, skills. But here, Jesus is talking about material stuff, money. And we need to hear this wherever we are now. I had a friend I was talking to about this whole issue a few years ago when I was at uni. And he was speaking as if he couldn't be generous until he got to the point where he was earning enough money to be generous. And we had a big, long discussion on it. And then we decided, you know what, generosity is not about quantity, it's about intent. And we'll really see that in this passage. But I want you to think about where you are at now and the material means that you have now. Don't think about what you might be like in a few years or what you used to be like a few years ago now. Think about what you have now. What money has God given you? What access to money has God given you right now? Because Jesus assumes, no matter how young you are, how old you are, if you're following him, you will be giving some of that to needy people. He assumes that. It's when, not if. And it's worth us noting that before we move on. Because maybe there's a specific challenge for some of us here. Maybe if you're at PAL, maybe there's an assumption that you have to get a job before you start giving away money. But actually, generosity is not about quantity. We're going to see that later. If Jesus was looking at your life, would he see a willingness, an eagerness to give to the needy? But assuming we are giving, or at least we're really thinking, yeah, okay, I want to, I'm going to, then how? How should we be giving? That's the main emphasis here. We see now we're not supposed to do it, but verse 3, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. It's a picture of complete secrecy, isn't it? It's the complete opposite of sounding a trumpet and making sure everybody knows how much and who did it and when they did it and all that kind of thing. It's complete secrecy. It's almost being wanting to be generous and wanting nobody to have any idea who did it. You don't want anyone to know, even have any clue who it was that gave that gift. Why? Because you're not doing it for anybody other than God. He's the main reason you're doing it. You're doing it to him, for him. And there's going to be times when our generosity is noticed by people. And people do thank us. And people do say, that was good, that was kind, that what you did. And that's not a bad thing. But it can't be that our motivation for generosity is those kind of reactions. That's what Jesus is saying. Beware public acts of righteousness so that you might be seen. He's talking about motivation here. Whatever we're giving to those who are needy should be given as to God and for God. When you give to the needy, give as to God and for God. It's almost like when you give, the only person that matters is God. It doesn't matter if anyone sees it, because the only person that matters is God. We saw earlier in Mark 12, didn't we, that story. I love this story in Mark 12. Jesus is sitting at the temple. Let's turn back to it, page 849. Just so you can have it in front of you. Jesus is sitting at the temple with his disciples, and people are coming in and they're bringing their offerings to the treasury. And many people are putting in really large sums, and I don't know exactly what it would have looked like, but clearly however it's happening, it's obvious how much they're giving. You can see. Nothing's being hidden in that respect. People are coming in and they're being given these large sums, and you can imagine being there and being on the side of the thing and seeing people arrive and looking impressive. Impressive people giving loads. And you just think, wow, how generous. I'd love to be able to get to the point. I remember thinking this when I was younger, and I still think this sometimes. It'd be amazing to be able to be that generous. And that's what people are thinking. Everybody sees this kind of generosity. Everybody sees this kind of giving. And the world praises this kind of giving. Jesus is there. He doesn't really want to talk about those people. Jesus sees these people come and go, and then a poor widow comes along and she puts in two small copper coins. After these huge bags that people have brought, she brings in one, two tiny little coins. She probably shuffled in and no one even noticed she was there. People probably bumped into her and just thought, what was that? Oh, never mind. She goes up to the treasury, she drops these two little coins in, and she's the one Jesus wants to talk about. He stops and he says to his disciples, that's what I want you to look at. I want you to see that. Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything that she had, all that she had to live on. When you give as to God, you give like he's the only one that matters. Knowing that he's the one who's given you those means to give in the first place. Whatever you have to give has come from him. And whatever reason you have to give is because of him. And so because he's the one who's most important and actually no one else really matters, you keep a lid on it as much as possible. Because you're not in it for the praise that others give. It might be that other people find out about it and do praise you and do thank you, and that's not a bad thing, but that's never should be your reason to do it. And actually, if you do find yourself in a situation where someone is thanking you, is praising you, then if we're going to take Matthew 5:16 to heart, then we should bounce it back to God, shouldn't we? If people see your good works, it should be that they give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And so if someone thanks you for your generosity, then say, well, I give because God gives. I had a good example of this. I found out about a good example of this about a year or so ago. When we were growing up in Africa, my parents were missionaries in Africa, and there was this part of this area that was a real staple of my childhood. It was a kind of a sports club on the outside of town. And this place had a swimming pool and tennis courts and things like that. And we used to go there all the time. In the right season, we were there pretty much every day. I learned to swim there. There's probably toys of mine still buried in the ground somewhere there. I was there all the time, and it was a real feature of my childhood. And, you know, we were out in Madagascar for 17 years, came back to England, kind of always remembered it really fondly. But I talked to my mum, I can't remember exactly when it was, I think maybe a year or so ago, and we were talking about a particular family from the church where that had sent my parents out to Madagascar. And my mum just mentioned in passing, oh yeah, so-and-so, they're the ones who paid for our membership at that club. And these people, you know, once we came back to England, I'd spent lots of time with them. And I chatted to them countless times. I had no clue that they were the ones that were responsible for that massive section of my childhood, a massive blessing, something we really, really enjoyed. Because when my parents first went out, they said, we want to help with something. We want to give them something that is just fun for the family. Because, you know, the church is funding all the ministry, but we want to do something that's just nice for the family. And so they chatted to my parents, and my parents said, well, there's this club that would be great because, you know, the kids could be part of it, but we can't really afford it, so we'll pay for it. We'll pay for your subscription for the next 5 years, and then we'll chat about it again after that. And they did. And they paid for it for a good 12 years or something like that, and I never knew. And my parents obviously would have been part of that discussion, and I'm sure they would have thanked them. But those same people saw me plenty of times, and never once were they like, so, you like swimming, do you? You know? Or not even a sense of, yeah, what kind of stuff do you get up to when you, you know, nothing at all. I had no idea. And they'd kept a lid on that for a good 30 years or so. And I was so impressed when I found out that it was them the whole time. That huge thing that I'd benefited from for most of my childhood, it was them. And I think that's just a really good example of somebody giving, not looking for praise, not even looking for thanks for them, from the people that are directly benefiting, giving as to God and for God, knowing that actually doesn't really matter who else knows about this, because God is the one who's given me the means to give. And the reason I give is because God has given and God does give. And so when we give to the needy, when we have material things, whether it's a small amount or a large amount, when we give, let's not put our name on it. Let's give as to God and for God. Let's stop to consider, just for a few moments, what do you have right now that you could give away? Don't think about what you might one day have or what you used to have. What do you have right now that you could give away, that God has given you? The widow in Mark 12 didn't wait till she had 3 copper coins to give away too. She gave away what she had. And when you think about what you do have that you can give away, just think, how can you do it as to God and for him? How can you keep a lid on it so that in your behavior, just for yourself, you know, I'm not doing this for anybody other than God. When you give to the needy, don't put your name on it. Give as to God and for God. And lastly, because verse 4, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. God will see it, and God will reward. We needn't worry that nobody will see it. God will see it. That story in Mark 12 really shows that, doesn't it? All the people would have been impressed by the wealthy people coming in. That's what the world sees. Jesus sees the widow. God will see it. He never misses something that is done in kindness for his sake, and it matters to him. It's hard to get our heads around the whole language of reward, isn't it? In the Bible, Jesus speaks about reward. When we live righteously for his sake, he speaks about it being worth it. Sometimes it's going to be really tough to do that in this life, and Jesus says it's worth it. There will be a reward. And it's hard for us to think transactionally like that. But what we should remember is this: when we make an effort, when we seek to do what God wants us to do, and when we give generously because of him, God sees it and it matters to him, and he will not forget it. And so the fact that nobody else thanks you and nobody else mentions it, nobody else praises you for it, God sees it. And it really matters to him that you did whatever you did. It's important to note at this point that we're not talking about salvation here. Jesus is talking to people for whom salvation is assured. When he says practicing your righteousness, he's not talking about earning your way to make yourself right with God. He's saying trusting in God's salvation plan for you, knowing that you're a sinner, but trusting that Jesus has died for you as you then live, this is how you are to think. So if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you're not really sure, please don't think that you can act with your money in such a way that you will earn your way to heaven. That's not at all what Jesus is saying. In fact, if you were here this morning, you would have seen, as we looked at Psalm 51, that every human being, apart from Jesus, is born so far away from God that no matter how good we are with money, no matter how generous we are towards people, we can never earn our way to be good enough for God. We need God to send the salvation plan to make us right with him. And that's what Jesus is all about. But if we are trusting in Jesus, then how we live matters as we seek to live for Jesus day by day. And that's what Jesus is talking about here as he talks about righteousness. Who are you doing it for? As you give to the needy, who are you most concerned with? And so for us, let's just wrap up. When you give to the needy, don't put your name on it. Give as to God and for God, and God will see it, and God will reward it. I think what I want us to really to see from this is that giving to the needy should be a thoroughly God-centered thing. If we're a Christian, this is how we should see it. I can give because God has given. Whatever I have to give, I can give because God has already given to me. Whatever I hold, material possessions or otherwise, it's all because God has given in the past. We have to make sure we fight against the individualist language of our society that says, your money is your own, you earned it, you do with it what you want. The only reason any of us have anything to give is because God has first given to us. Secondly, I do give because God gives. Our reason for giving is to reflect God's giving nature. We continue to give. We do give because we reflect what he's like. He is good. He is kind. He is patient. He is generous. We do give because God gives. And then lastly, we'll be content because God sees. We won't search to be content because other people see. We won't be, you know, looking for that thank you from that person. We'll be content because God sees. And he doesn't forget, and he will reward. So let's just consider when Jesus speaks about giving to the needy, and we might realize we're not giving to the needy. We need to stop and we need to say, I'm not obeying Jesus right now the way I should. Or when we see Jesus saying, not attaching your name to your acts of generosity, you might think, okay, I need to stop making this all about me. And then when we see Jesus saying, your Father sees, your Father will reward, maybe we need to stop and we need to say, that's the reason why I'm going to do it. And nothing else is going to come into it. Let's just have a moment of quiet. Let's just consider what God has told us. Think for yourself, your own habits, your own giving. We'll have a few moments of quiet and then I'll pray and then we'll sing. Father, help us with this, we pray. We confess that all too often we make giving about ourselves, our own pride, our own need for the approval of others. Pray that you'd forgive us for the times when we've not wanted to even bring you into it. And we've done something good and we've looked for the praise for ourselves and actually pushed you off the throne and claimed that all the good in what we're doing is from us rather than from you. Father, we pray that you'd help us to be people that seek to give because you have given to us, and seek to give because you are the great giver. Give us wisdom to know where we can really apply this, where we can really put it into action in our lives. And we pray, Father, that in all we do, we would be less concerned with what people think of us and more concerned with your approval of us as your children. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.